Hello, welcome to the Client Boot Podcast post-match reaction. I'm Dan Ronaldson, streaming live from my house with Wi-Fi at long last. I'm here to talk Ajax with Matt Kendrick. Matt, how are you, mate? You okay?
I'm all right, yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Wi-Fi Lord and praise the Europa Conference Lord. Good night. A much better experience than however many days ago it was at Villa Park in the league. So, yeah, we're winning.
Yeah, talking of praising the Lord, let's get the Ollie Watkins discussion out of the way first of all. There's already comments coming through saying, how is he? What's the status on Ollie Watkins? What is the injury situation? I was praying to the gods when he went down injured, and I'm not a religious man in any sense. When he goes down, you think, oh no, here we go. I see knees, I see pain. I'm thinking ACL. Emery has said, and I've got the quotes in front of me, and I will just read them if I can find them in the right tab. Emery says, we don't know exactly what the issue is. Maybe for Sunday he could be available, which is very cloak and dagger. Leon Bailey said, it looked really bad. It was an open wound. I didn't want him to come off, but John Duran did brilliantly. We'll talk about John Duran later. So a flesh wound for Ollie Watkins. He had his knee wrapped in with a bit of bandage or whatever, and you would assume, and I'm not a doctor, as much as I'm not a religious man, maybe that cut reopened again. I mean, he scored a goal with this injury, so it's kind of been too bad. So stitches and a bit of ice, and maybe he's ready for Sunday.
In the piece I'm reading from, Emery then added in his press conference, it is no more than a cut. I think he could be available for Sunday, but we'll have to wait for then. So we'll have to see whether it's surgeon Emery or Dr. Bailey, whose prognosis is correct. But the main thing is, listen, we don't want to be going to West Ham on Sunday without Ollie Watkins. But the main thing is that after that, we've got, I think it's, we're going to the international break, don't we? Then, yeah. So there's the opportunity for him to. So it looks like it's not a serious one anyway, which was the main thing. Because as soon as we see him go down and then stay down, I think everybody in the stadium is just thinking, we can't, not only can we not afford to tonight.
If he's had his knees sliced open by the stud of the goalkeeper, he's going to be in a lot of pain. But because you don't see any of that, you do just think the worst, don't you?
Yeah, so mind you, the way he recovered to rise to score that goal and then ran off celebrating, you thought, well, you know, that injury is long forgotten. But I think at least you're in a position we put us into the lead where there's no need to take risks with him. You know, he's going to be so important to us during the run-in that, as much as I didn't want him to leave the field, I was relieved that we took him off and kind of wrapped him in cotton wool. And whether it's just a plot from Emery that he doesn't want him to be tainted by Gareth Southgate's England tactics and he just wanted to keep him at Bodymore for the next 3 weeks, I don't know. But that's just me being a bitch.
Ooh, all right. Well, tasty after hours podcast here. Can you say that? I'm sure you can. You're the boss. Anyway, let's talk about the goal while we're here, the opener. It's a brilliant header from Watkins, by the way, and there's a couple of good set pieces. While I remember, there's one with Diaby where he's like stood behind the goalkeeper and then comes back into space. I think Moreno might be the one that kind of got the effort away, but should have done better, really. But yeah, a couple of good set pieces and a really nice opening goal. I think Luiz put the ball in and Watkins kind of directed it back in towards the far corner of the goal. Runs away in celebration. Yeah, you're right. My first thought was, oh, well, he can't be that injured then because he's scored, he's ran away. You're right in the sense that best to kind of be cautious, I suppose, by just getting him off if we think, I know it's only 1-0, but you think you've kind of done your job, you've scored the goal, let's not risk it any further. But really nice Ollie Watkins finish.
Yeah, it was quality. It's amazing what Douglas Luiz's delivery is like when he's not being marked by the linesman like he was when he was trying to take some corners from that in front of the whole end from the right side on Sunday. You could just see it. I'm high up in the Trinity, just level with the North Stand penalty, 18-yard line. But you could just see the fly to the ball perfectly to Watkins and then his header. As soon as it left him, you could just see it. The way he directed it perfectly into that bottom corner, and I think we needed it, to be honest. I don't think they were particularly, you know, I don't think they were good. As soon as we got the second goal, it was a bit like the Spurs game at the weekend where the second goal went in. One team was reduced to 10 men, the other team just kind of won it at a canter in the end. Really, unfortunately, we were the ones on the right side of it.
Yeah, definitely. That second goal was crucial in the way it came about. We'll get onto that in a little bit. Just want to make a quick mention for Rodgers, who obviously got a yellow card and came off in the second half. What do you make of him in the kind of little spells we've seen of him so far? Like starting in a European knockout second leg is clearly a good show of faith from Emery. He put a couple of balls in for Diaby, I think. In fact, the one that led to the corner was Rodgers playing through Diaby, and we get the corner off the back of it. Just generally, what have you made of Rodgers' start so far?
I think he's playing his way into, sounds like something a manager says, playing his way into contention. I think the fact that Emery does trust him in those moments and those big moments. I think he's a work in progress, Dan, and I think we probably signed him as a work in progress. And I think what you've got to remember is the bulk of that squad, most of them, I know Emery's made some refinements and some improvements in the last 18 months, but the bulk of that squad have played together for 3 years now. So not only do they know each other's game, but they're also Premier League ready, where, listen, Morgan Rodgers has got a good pedigree and, you know, obviously scored at Manchester City via West Bromwich Albion. But he's been playing his football in the Championship, so it's going to take him a while to elevate his game to suit those around him. But having said that, that's not a criticism, because I thought we'd seen some good things from him. I presume the halftime substitution, was that because he was on a yellow card? Was that because Watkins had gone off injured and Emery wants to keep him fresh, potentially, if Watkins isn't available in the next match? I'm not sure. I don't think that was a criticism of his performance. I just think that was shrewd management from Emery about thinking about the next step and when we could need him again.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think it probably was because of the yellow card. Let's talk about Cash quickly. Obviously, he didn't play in the first leg. Ezra Conte was suspended for this one, so Cash comes in. Again, I thought he played very well.
Can I just pick up one of the comments from, was it George Harris? I think Watkins got injured because I walked over 3 drains.
Yeah, I'd starred that to come back to later. So we're on the same wavelengths here.
Do you do that, Dan? Are you a 2-drain? Have we spoken about 2-drain superstition before on here?
We have done superstitions in a roundabout way before. I don't think we've done the drains one specifically. I'm not particularly superstitious with this kind of thing. You are, aren't you?
Because ever since I was a kid, a long time ago, we walk over 2 drains is good luck. When I say drains, kind of
what manhole covers,
square manhole covers, and 3 drains is bad luck. And I've conditioned my son and his mate now to do it. So sometimes when we walk into the games from the car with my dad, I'm talking to my dad, and then there's the 3 of us, like in a little conga, me, my son, and his mate. And my dad's still having a conversation with me. And my dad just like rolls his eyes now as if to say, Come on. I can understand it from the kids, but Matt, just grow up, basically. But yeah, so who was it? Sorry, who's flagged
George,
that?
George, yeah, George's fault.
Yeah, just don't do it again, because we can't afford to lose Ollie Watkins. So make sure your drain game is on point in the next couple of weeks.
This opens up a different tangent. We will talk about the football, the rest of it, in a bit. My big thing is jinxing, because I get this thrown at me a lot for if I do a tweet or something at half time, thinking, oh, we're going to win, and people, don't jinx it. And I'm just like, this doesn't exist. My tweet has got absolutely no bearing on how this game goes. I've done thumbnails and stuff in the past, like in advance of the game. And my partner has come in and been like, oh, what? Yeah, the game's not finished yet, or like it's later tonight or whatever. And I'm just putting in the like Ajax versus Villa and like getting it all ready so that when I get back, I can kind of do things quickly. And I always put in Villa are winning just because, you know, it just makes sense to be like, so I'll put post-match reaction, Villa 3, Ajax 0 or whatever, and I have that well in advance, and she always says, you're jinxing it. I said, there was no such thing. But there was one time when I tweeted this, I'm going back a year or two probably, and I picked a random scoreline, so that's my score prediction for today, Villa 4, Chelsea 0 or whatever, and whatever game it was, they battered us, and I had loads of tweets saying, you jinxed it. And I was like, well, there's no such thing as jinx, but that probably isn't a good look for me to be so kind of cocky with my stupid predictions, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm not normally a very superstitious person, although I'm glad. If you walk down Nelson Road around the corner from Villa Park at the moment, there's loads of scaffolding and loads of ladders. Okay. And on the way back, I don't go into the ground that way, fortunately, but on the way back, I'm thinking, you know, people are setting the traps now. It's the rest of the football world wanting to us against the football world. The rest of the football world wanting Villa to foul. They're setting traps everywhere, but just be vigilant out there, Villa fans. If you are superstitious, make sure we're staying on the right side of them. What were you going to ask me anyway?
I don't know. I love the thought of like Eric Ten Hag coming down Nelson Road before the game, like setting ladders everywhere, thinking, well, this will upset Villa losing tonight. Matty Cash, I thought he played well. I thought he came in and did a job well. The one kind of moment, I suppose, is the clearance off the line just before half time to keep it at 1-0. I don't quite know whether it was going in. I'm just going to assume, yes, it was. So a crucial block there from Matty Cash to keep it at 1-0. Because if you're going at 1-1, is a totally different feel then, I think.
Yeah, I've only just watched that back because, confession, I actually went for an early half-time wee. So I didn't realise how close we'd come. But yeah, I thought there were a lot of good performances tonight, really. I can't really fault many people who played tonight. I thought it was an all-round good performance. But yeah, that was one of Cash's better displays. I thought defensively he looked solid and, you know, he probably didn't get forward quite as much as he would have liked to. But I thought he had a zip about him today that was the Cash of old, really. Listen, we're harsh critics anyway, aren't we? You know, to play as often as he's played in that team and to be part of the rise up the Premier League into the top echelons of the Premier League. He's a very good player. It's just our standards are impeccable at the moment. Yeah. And, you know, but yeah, I thought it was one of his better performances, definitely.
A couple of comments here before we move on. Abibi5017 says, drains and scaffolding are not conversation points I thought I'd hear on this podcast. Clearly don't watch this podcast very often because we'd never talk about the football. There's always something stupid. And I'm going to have to ask you to kind of translate. I've got a rough idea of what this means, but Leighton Castle says, on jinxing, I still blame myself for jinxing Tony Cascarino's time at Villa. When we signed him, I always had him as my star striker on Emlyn Hughes' football on the Commodore 64. Now, I'm aware that's some kind of games console from whenever Tony Cascarino played for Villa, but Emlyn Hughes football on the Commodore 64, does that ring bells with you?
Commodore 64 rings a bell with me. I never had Emlyn Hughes football. We're teaching you a lot, aren't we, Dan? We're taking you on a trip down memory lane and educating you. You should have learnt all this at GCSE history at the Earls.
Yeah, I feel like I come across, not stupid, but like well below my age for things like this.
Cause I'm not 28. Stupid, just formless, I think. Yeah.
That's a horrible word. That shouldn't be allowed. Can I get HR for that? I don't know. I've behind the scenes peek.
Well, I reckon there'll be references from your youth that I won't understand because I'll have moved on into kind of growing up by then.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little behind the scenes. I do play up to that a little bit, like, you know, I've not heard of this. Like, there's some things where it's like, I'll just, you know, for content's sake. Anyway.
Do you know Rackham's really, yeah?
I've been around the back of Rackham's, whatever that means. Right, so we've done the Emery quotes. Let's talk about Leon Bailey then, his goal, the second of the game, 59th minute. Ajax were looking to kind of threaten and get back into the tie at that stage. It did feel like the momentum was shifting just a little bit. And that goal kills it, doesn't it? Bailey's finish. And the thing that I loved about that goal is that we know what Bailey wants to do, and we've talked about it before. He always wants to get the ball on the right, move into the left-hand side of the space, get the ball on his left and curl it around the goalkeeper. So, you know, not that this particular thing made the goal and it was no one saw this coming, but to have a little step over and go on his right and get that yard of space and finish across the goalkeeper was intelligent play from Leon Bailey. It's nice to see.
Did I tell you that my son had done a little highlights reel of Bailey?
No.
I told you this, didn't I? He's Did done it and he's put, you know, the theme tune from Murder in Paradise, because that's a Caribbean thing. And he's brilliant. So he goes, ba ba da 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 da. It's really, mate, honestly, it really works really well. So I might see if you can share some of his technical skills with him, mate, but it's really good. But he'll be adding that goal. I thought it was really stylish. I don't use the word stylish very, very much, but it was, he knew what he was going to do with that. Just a very calm, placed, measured finish into the bottom corner. I thought he got his mojo back today. I thought he was poor on Sunday. He wasn't the only one, but I thought he got that swagger back about him today. And Diaby, I think it's a slow burner with Diaby. I hope the goal that he scored towards the end will give him that confidence. But there were a lot more glimpses and glimmers from him tonight. And having those in tandem, and maybe let's see what happens with Watkins and whether that cut to his leg, whether Emery's just playing it down or whatever. But I think it's exciting if we can get both of those firing as we go towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Let's talk about John Duran, which always brings a smile to my face and a giggle to the podcast. He's this live wire, this enigma that he's going to either come on and do something brilliant or do something stupid and get a silly yellow card, or both probably in some games as well. He might not always offer that kind of moment of quality that he did tonight with scoring the goal, but you can always count on him to get himself about a little bit. And that does lead to some silly yellow cards and you think, come on, what are you doing? The goal itself is an absolute rocket, isn't it? Just kind of there was a few instances of Ajax's defending where they've gone to kind of make a pass or I know the pass was straight from the goalkeeper, wasn't it? Was it for that goal or was it for the fourth one? I can't remember. But there's things where they've kind of like gone to make a tackle and fumbled over the ball and it's presented itself to a Villa player. And that's happened on a few occasions, but you know, you can only play the quality of players that are in front of you. But even in that kind of like chaos of a counter attack or a defensive mix up, Duran just takes a simple touch from his right to put it onto his left. Really calm. It feels like everything kind of slows down and rifles it through, and it's foot like a traction engine stuff, isn't it?
You know what I thought for that when he smashed that in? You know, the goalkeeper must get on his watch. It buzzes on his watch.
When referee.
The goalkeeper, yeah. The ref, that's the fella. I was telling the one the black is in orange tonight. The one with the whistle. That's the referee, isn't it? Yeah. No, he must get a notification.
Yeah.
Oh, should be able to get those wristbands in the club shop so that when you get it as well. When it crosses the line, you just get that little buzz, you know, whether it kind of clamps your nipples or it just gives you that little buzz. But yeah.
Why have you said that?
I don't know. I'm not even drunk. I'm just drinking water, honestly. I'm drunk on the success of getting through to the Conference League quarterfinals. It was a great strike. I did fear when Watkins went off and the referee seemed in the first 10 or 15 minutes like he was going to be a little bit yellow card happy. I thought, well, yeah. John Duran could last 35 seconds here. He could clatter into two defenders and get sent off. But he's so willing, isn't he? He just loves. And the excitement, and listen, he's not the first person to be excited by scoring a goal, but he just feels blessed. The sheer pleasure of it, you think, yeah, good on you, mate.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, I don't know, I still think going into a team that's challenging on two fronts for a European trophy and to finish in the top four, I still think we've left ourselves massively thin to be going into this crucial period with Ollie Watkins, who's played a lot of football, and John Duran, who's rough and ready. He's willing and he's able, but he's not the level of Ollie Watkins. I think we've left ourselves light, but I do think that we've got that option, you know, because he was injured for a while and we didn't have that option at all. And he comes on, he shows willing, you know, he gets chances. He doesn't always take them, but he gets chances. For the role that he's playing and for the stage of his career that he's at and his first year in the Premier League, I think he's decent. You know, I think as we climb, he's going to have to really improve to stay with us in terms of our ambitions. But I don't think you can knock his attitude. And he does. He just brings a smile to your face.
Yeah, there's a question here from Leighton who gets his second shout out of the show. It's a question for Matt. Does Duran remind you a bit of Dalian, the way he just runs at people? Miles off the finished article, but there's definitely something there. Would that be fair?
Well, that's probably a kind of thing, because I think I described him as the Colombian Marlon Harewood to my nephew today, which is cruel, to be fair, because he offers a lot more than Marlon Harewood. But yeah, I suppose there is a little bit of that, a bit of kind of using his, I mean, there's the one chance where he's just, I think he's taking a heavy touch, he's coming down the inside right channel, he's taking a heavy touch, but he's absolutely kind of pole-axed or shoulder barged his man out of the way to get back on the ball. And I think he backs himself with his strength and with his pace to go and do damage. So I can see, I can see a little bit of Daly in him. Yeah,
we talked about Diaby a little bit. That goal will hopefully do his confidence the world of good, won't it? Again, it's a really nice finish from him, and I thought that was probably one of Diaby's better games for quite a while overall. I thought he played really well, and he was involved in lots of Villa's better moments as well.
Yeah, and like I said, I think the finish and the goal will do the world of good. I think we've said this before, haven't we? We thought that Diaby was going to be the one that would come and shine, yet it's his presence that has seemed to bring out the best in Bailey. And I think on Sunday's game, I think we remarked that he came on and he looked devoid of confidence. I saw a little bit more from him today. I saw him, you know, I thought him and Bailey, I still think him and Bailey combined really well. Was it first half when Bailey's put one with the outside of his boot to send him scampering clear and the goalkeeper's come and just cleared it?
I think so.
I think we've got exciting options. I think a bit like Bailey in his first season, you know, tore it up in the Bundesliga. We signed him. We'd seen the highlights reel, not the one with the Murder in Paradise tune, but just we saw what he could do. But it's taken him a season or a couple of seasons to get up to the speed that we need to be. I think we've got to afford Diaby that same patience and that same courtesy, really, because there's a difference, isn't there? You know, I don't think it's the biggest thing in the world to say that there's a difference between the Bundesliga and the Premier League. But I thought it was one of his better performances.
I don't think it's ever going to happen, but I like the idea of the chaos of Watkins and Duran up front as a pairing, supported by Bailey and Diaby. And I think those four players will ever play together, but there's some good options there now, I think.
Well, you know, our forward players all scored, didn't they, with the exception of Rodgers tonight. So you've had Bailey, you've had Diaby, you've had Duran, and you've had Ollie Watkins. So that's a good night at the office, I think, for Unai.
You don't hear a good night at the office very often, do you? It's always a bad night at the office.
You don't really have nights at the office, do you?
No, exactly. Yeah, that's why.
Unless you missed your last bus home and you can use your key fob to get in and kip on the sofa. You don't normally have nights at the office at all, do you?
You experience with that one? Kipping on the office sofa?
Not me personally. One of our colleagues who has, but I don't want to throw him under the bus.
Yeah. That John Townley. Bloody hell.
Yeah, off his head on fruit shoots.
What were you going to mention? Because I've only got one point left I want to talk about.
I was going to mention the Henderson booing, and I think it must be his first. It is his first return to these shores in terms of club football. And Villa fans were relentless. They were, as you know, just kind of booed his every touch. Chance of one greedy bleep bleep every time he was on the ball.
I thought that was about your trio of puddings.
Well, I've had a whole multi pack of you know, barbecue hula hoops.
Oh yeah, a multi pack is in like six packets.
Yeah, they're only the packets of crisps are littler though, aren't they? Now
they're getting smaller these days for sure. Yeah, they're not what they once were.
They are class crisps though, aren't they?
They're great, but they're the big hoops.
No, the little just normal sized hula hoops.
Yeah, the big ones are better.
Yeah, but in terms of Henderson, and this is not meant to slag off Henderson, it is a little bit, but I think it's a damning indictment now, I think, of Dutch football that I think somebody was saying he's Ajax's best ever, most you know, best paid player ever. And he's clearly the main man, he's the captain, and you know, and I just think if that's what Dutch top flight football is now, we've seen great Ajax teams down the years, and the way they capitulated today, they didn't really offer much. And I just think it just shows that, I'm not sure this is a revelation for anybody, but financially they just can't compete, can they? Yeah, they just can't compete with Premier League and Spanish football. And it's just, I'm glad that they weren't any better than they were, because a comfortable victory was made for a nice evening tonight. But I just feel it's a shame, really. But anyway, never mind.
Yeah,
I don't I'll get over it.
Exactly. It was a good night for Coefficient FC. I've recorded my little Champions League Explainer audio-only podcast that we spoke about last week, but I am sitting on it until we don't get battered by Spurs. Like, it felt a weird time to post that. And I spoke about how fifth place can become Champions League. And we've edged ever closer to that becoming a reality, even tonight specifically. Obviously, Villa have won. That's very useful for the English coefficient. West Ham won. But more importantly, they beat a German team. So Germany didn't manage to get any coefficient points, whereas England did via West Ham and Villa. So it's, I've seen like a percentage prediction that the extra spot is something like 85% to go to England. So we should know even by the, what are we in next, quarterfinals? Even by the quarterfinal stage, we should have it wrapped up that fifth place for England probably is going to be the Champions League. So we will know that in April, let's say. So we can kind of have that period at the back end of the season going, well, even if we only finish fifth, that should still be good enough for a Champions League place, which is obviously great for us that we've got that kind of safety net. But I want to finish fourth anyway, so that doesn't really matter. There was a comment that I wanted to end on from Seb, who said, what would you want? Who do you want? Sorry. Are you about to give me another point? Another stupid
No, comment? No. Just looking at okay. My notes, see if I've missed anything.
I saw you wagging your pen. I thought you were about to go, oh, just one thing.
No. Go on.
Okay. So from Seb, he says, who do you want in the quarterfinals? Now, the teams are Fenerbahce, Fiorentina, PAOK, Victoria Pilsen, obviously Aston Villa, Club Brugge, Lille and Olympiacos. Now, I want to come at this from two angles, which side of the fence that you're sat on or either side of. Do you want an easier club to hopefully progress through to the semi-final with an easier route? Or, like me, do you want one of the best teams now?
I want an easier club.
Do you? Yeah. I mean, I'll be obviously happy with that, of course. You take the easier route. My thinking, to be slightly different, if Villa are going to get all the way to the final, because we expect to, because we've got, I think of all the teams that went through, Villa have gone through by the biggest margin in this round. Not that that really means much, but Villa have done well over these two legs. In theory, if we get to the final will be the hardest team that we play. And that's one leg, obviously. So my thinking is, are we better off playing a harder team now because you've got the benefit of two legs and a Villa Park advantage to kind of get one of the big boys out of the way now and potentially have an easier game later in the competition? Is that flawed logic or not?
Well, I thought you were going to say, well, we need to play a big team now because we won't know what playing big teams are like when we get to the final. I thought, well, we're playing the Premier League every week, so... No, just keep progressing and keep progressing, because the danger is the better team that you play, they beat you. So I'd rather just have somebody we can roll over.
But would you rather lose at this stage against one of the bigger teams than get all the way to the final and then lose to Fiorentina, for example? Because it's just that thing of you've got that advantage of two legs that I'm thinking you kind of get it out of the way early doors.
So you're saying, if we beat the big teams now, we avoid them in the final and we can just relax in the final.
Not necessarily, but almost, yeah.
No, just keep progressing and keep progressing, and then
okay.
Yeah. We back ourselves whoever we face. You know, in the list that you've just read out, I'm not trying to take anybody lightly, but you back ourselves. I presume we are the bookies' favourite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get the easy ones done and then keep progressing.
You've also got the thing of everyone else that I just read out there will be thinking, we probably don't want to play Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, either in our favour or isn't. If they raise their game and play the game of their season, then obviously that doesn't go great for us. But that's, you've still got the two-legged thing for the quarters and obviously the semis. So the draw is tomorrow. I've only just found this out. The draw is tomorrow and it's the quarter and the semi-final draw at the same time, which I don't really like. It takes away some of the excitement of the semi-final, doesn't it? Because it'll be like somebody versus somebody, and it's all a little bit confusing for my little brain.
Yeah, but they're quite a nice problems to have, aren't they? Us worrying about, bothered about the semi-final draw for a European competition. It's a nice problem to have.
Yeah. All right, we're done?
Yeah, the only other thing...
I knew there was something else. I knew you were.
No, I'm just trying to think how I can crowbar this in. So when I got I'm laughing at my own jokes. When I got in tonight, Mrs. Kendrick said to me, "How did you get on against Ajax?" I said, "Oh, we wiped the floor with them."
Okay, good.
You having that or not? No.
Yeah, I mean, my podcast persona there should have said, "What's Ajax?" just to make you squirm and explain something so stupid.
I don't know why I bother. I really
don't. Right, let's call it a day there. There will be another podcast tomorrow. I don't know who's going to be on it, but it'll be a West Ham preview. I don't think there's a specific West Ham press conference for tomorrow. I think they will have spoken about it tonight and embargoed it for tomorrow and Saturday. The game is obviously Sunday, so we will do a preview for West Ham tomorrow. It'll probably be John, I would have thought. We'll talk about the draw as well for the Conference League quarters and semi-final. I think it's 1 p.m. I don't know whether that's UK time or not. So it'll be Friday afternoon into the evening. We'll do a podcast and we'll also have a post-match show for West Ham as well on Sunday. And then we're back in the office next week, I think, doing a few different bits and pieces. So loads of content coming forward on Claret & Blue as always. Matt, thank you very much for joining me on this one. It's good to be back filming stuff in my home environment rather than... Not that it comes to your house as bad.
No,
as fine,
well, don't worry, you're not welcome anymore. I'm like, stay where you are.
Yeah, but nice to be back doing things properly. So thanks everyone for watching along live. 500 people at almost midnight on Thursday. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you're somebody who's watching this on catch up, scroll down into the YouTube comments and share your thoughts on Ajax and the West Ham game. People might have skipped that bit and then they think I've pronounced it wrong. Ajax, of course. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever platform you pick, if you can leave us a 5-star review and a rating, that'd be very helpful as well. We'll see you again tomorrow here on the Claret & Blue Podcast. Until then, up the Villa.
Oh, one more thing.
Don't you dare.
No. One more thing. When your man got sent off, I realised how childish I am, how much I love the cheerio, cheerio, cheerio. So, I thought that I could sing you out with that, or you could sing me out with it. All right, so.
You can sing it, and when I've had enough, I'll press the button.
All right, cheerio.